It's warming up here in Minnesota. It's going to be time for the ice cream man soon. I think that's what I'll tell a story about. What the heck? This is Joy Bubbles, your storyteller, and you've reached Stories and Stuff here in Minneapolis, land of cold weather and warm hearts. Me and my sister, back a few years ago, I was 7 and she was 9, roughly. And we'd come home from school, and it would be pretty quiet. Daddy was working, and Mother would go there every day and help him out. That's the way they called it then. And it would be pretty quiet in the house. Very quiet when we'd get home. And we would just sort of pretend and imagine that we heard some music coming from somewhere. But then, all of a sudden, we'd think we heard it. Is it there? Is that it? And then we'd know it was it. We'd hear the middle, like a music box, playing Pop Goes the Weasel and maybe another couple little tunes. And we'd run outside and be jumping up and down, the ice cream man. And he would stop, and even when we changed our mind 3 or 4 times, he'd give us the flavors we wanted. Every day, we'd give him our ice cream money that Mommy and Daddy would leave. And it was probably the very best part of the whole day for us. And to one day, Daddy came home real sad and said he had lost his job. And the next day, he told us that we would not be able to get any more ice cream. Since he didn't have a job, he wouldn't be able to buy ice cream every day from the ice cream man. It was kind of hard to pretend not to cry, because that was back when I used to think boys weren't supposed to cry, before I learned that crying is not a breakdown, it's a breakthrough. But I didn't know all that then. And so I was pretending not to cry, and my sister did. And I said, "Oh, Daddy, I don't like ice cream anymore anyway." And he said, "Well, I'm glad, because you won't be getting any." And I was hoping that somehow the ice cream man would know not to come, you know. But darn, he came, and we stayed inside for the first time, and he kept dinging his bell and everything and didn't seem to be going away. So we went outside, and I said, "We don't like ice cream anymore. Go away, ice cream man." And I was trying real hard not to cry. Instead of going away, he got out of the truck and came over and bent down by us and said, "My gosh, what in the world happened?" And I told him about Daddy losing his job and how Daddy was so sad. I wanted to try to make him happy by telling him I didn't like ice cream anymore. And so he was silent for a couple seconds, and he said, "You know what? I'm looking for some kids about 7 and 9 years old, maybe 2 kids, if I could find them, that would be willing to help me out, you know, do me a special favor. You see, I've got this leftover ice cream, and I can't sell that, and I was wanting to give it to somebody. And, you know, we're such unselfish kids. You know, we always like to bend over backward and go out of our way on a real hot Florida day to help somebody out. So we decided to help that ice cream man and take that ice cream and eat it for him. And, you know, since we were, you know, learned to be real helpful and everything and go out of our way to be kind to other people. So we said, yeah, we'll take that ice cream, you know, even if it is leftover." And he even let us choose the flavor just like we normally did and everything, and decide to change our mind 3 times or whatever it was, and gave us that leftover ice cream. And we had kind of learned, you know, not to trust people. That's what, you know, people used to tell us when we were little. And so we thought, well, that's the last we'll see of him now that he knows we don't have the money. But, you know, the next day he was there again, and he was yelling, "Leftover ice cream, leftover ice cream. Who's going to come and get it?" And so we ran outside again, and he came that day, and the next day, and the next week, and the next 2 whole months. Every single day, weekday, he seemed to have leftover ice cream for us. I don't know where he got all that leftover ice cream. You know, sometimes we wondered, but, you know. But 2 whole months. And then one day, we ran out there and said, "Daddy got a job, Daddy got a job. We can buy the regular ice cream again." But you know what? It tasted just about the same as that leftover ice cream. But a while later, when we got ready to move away, we were going to miss him, and me and my sister got together and wrote him a note in Braille. And we came out and told him we were moving and gave him the note. And he said, "Oh, I can't read with my fingers like you can. You'll need to read this to me." And so we said, we both had memorized the note, too, and we read it together. "Dear Ice Cream Man, you have cold ice cream and a warm heart. We'll remember you forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. Love, the Leftover Ice Cream Kids." And he said he would keep it in his wallet forever and ever. And remember us forever and ever, too. I bet he did. So, it's funny how one person can be around to change somebody's life. One person where you remember them forever. It's not too often that I got a chance to do that, but there's one time back in 1980 that I got to be that for somebody else. Maybe one of the very few times in my life. It so happened that there was this blind guy I knew named Bill. And at the time, most of his life he had lived in New York. And he had been trying to get a job. He was real interested in telephones, just like I was. But he had tried all over the different states around the country and in New York. And everywhere he went, he got turned down. They couldn't imagine how a blind person would be a telephone technician and find technical problems and analyze them and everything. And well, thanks to the help of a vice president and CEO in Colorado and Denver, I had gotten hired at the phone company. And so Bill came down there to Denver hoping to get a job since I was in. And they decided they really couldn't use two of us, but they hired him as an operator, which he didn't really want to be, you know, being that he was technically minded, and it was only part of the operator job that he could do with that. That the machine would let him do and all that, that you needed, tickets, writing tickets and everything to do the whole thing. So anyway, he had tried for several years. They said, "Well, we can't use two of you." And they tried to sell him to New Mexico and Idaho and these different states. And they kind of couldn't see how he could find troubles because the other people used printouts and all this stuff to find them. And we said, listen to test numbers and all kinds of stuff. We dial the system, dial in, and, we find them. We know how, We know how to listen and what to listen for and can tell where the trouble is and know how to get it fixed. And I told them, he's my equal, but they were a little skeptical. And I remember that phrase, "They can't use two of us." And during the night, one night in early 1980, I hatched an idea. I said, "I know how he can get a job here. They can't use two, they can use one. It only takes two words for me to say, I quit." Boy, were they surprised, because I'd gotten a lot of commendations and been on various TV programs and magazine articles and whatnot. And, they thought I was doing pretty good, and I guess I was. But when I told them that I was given my notice, and they said then it needs to be 2 weeks' notice. "Oh, I'm given 3 weeks, so it'll be right at the end of the pay period." And I just kind of said, I'm going to go and just do another adventure, I guess. I didn't really want to jinx things and all that and say I was going so my friend Bill could get a job, because he had been trying. And so that last day, not knowing what I was going to do after, it was a little scary, unplugging the fuses and turning the test equipment off when I left the office for the last time ever, walking out as a telephone man and giving security my ID, going out the door. So what'll I do if Bill only stays there 2 months after doing all this? But you know what? Just a couple weeks ago, I heard that he just retired effective March 10th. And that was from 1980. That means it's just about 26 years that he had that job that I left so he could take that well-paying technician job. And, of course, since then, I've had so many adventures, playing with kids and telling stories and doing all kinds of stuff that I would have never got to do. Having a telephone number in Australia and talking to people over there and being adopted by a lady in Australia and countless things. So I didn't know, but I didn't know what it would be that night I walked out, so they could still use one of us and it could be Bill. So I got to be there for him, just like that ice cream man was there for me and my sister. And it's one of the few times in my life I could remember that something like that. So anyway, I'm just glad for those 26 years that maybe without me being there at that particular time, he'd be living in a different state and have a totally different job now. Who knows? So good career and happy retirement, Bill, wherever you are. And next week, there'll be another story. Oh, that's right. It's just about time with the weather warming up to get your hammocks out, too, and start swinging in those. Don't let your hammock be lonely. Take care of each other. Stay strong and find some time to play. You can always find some time to play, even if you are kind of busy. Make time. Bye for now.
Begin speaking at the tone. When you're finished, hang up or press pound for more options.